We're moving into chapter 10, which we've looked at briefly before, but I want to, Daniel, it's a chapter where Daniel is praying. He's been fasting in mourning for 3 full weeks. He's very concerned about all the things he's been shown. And so here we are in chapter 10, going to finishing 10 quickly so we can move into 11. Not rushing or missing anything, it's just that it has a main point, and I just wanted to try to bring that out. Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. Then he said to me, this messenger that came, because he was looking into a vision and became quite concerned about what it was all about. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. But now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come." Number of things to be noted in these verses. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Wow, the very first day. If you've been praying for something consistently for quite a while and nothing seems to be happening, in order to keep doing that, you may have to tell yourself, remind yourself, as I do, "Lord, thank you that today you heard everything I've said and you have set your hand to bring it to pass. And the only thing that stops you is the will of man when he chooses not to listen. And everything else, Lord, you either do or don't do for your glory and for the benefit of people." Just to know that God has heard us when we speak. It's true. It's absolutely true. And here's evidence of it. Daniel was not simply praying because he didn't understand. That was certainly part of it. But the reason he had set his heart to understand and the reason he humbled himself before God was to make himself ready to obey God. He didn't want to do something or not do something that was going to hurt his people being captivity there in Babylon. He wanted to make sure he was ready. He didn't want to get left out of any part of God's will, no matter what that meant. And so he set his heart. We need to set our hearts in a certain direction. Sometimes we wander all over the place, or we wander into self and we get stuck in the mud there. Sometimes it's a deliberation. We need to set our hearts, and Daniel had set his heart. Two things that keep us from knowing and submitting to the will of God are, number one, a heart that wants only personal peace at all costs. That will interfere with us submitting to the will of God. If it just has to be easy, the easiest way out, the most peaceful way, then you're more about world peace than you are about God, who is about rescuing people from the fire. And sometimes allows the fire to burn. And sometimes even stokes the fire. Oh, Wayne, what are you talking about? Oh, I'm not a sadist. I want peace. I want to die in my sleep. I don't even get up from my desk in the office unless I have to. I pray and ask God to go do something rather than do it myself. Nonetheless, I don't care. I want God's will. And sometimes that's painful. But I want God's will. We have to want God's will. Number two, a lack of humility which interferes with us being able to listen to God. Lack of humility will do that. And it certainly interferes with us obeying God. And especially when part of the answer to our prayer is God changing us for the sake of others. Oh no, I'm praying for the lost. I'm fine. Really? What if you're an unbelievable believer? How's that going to help the lost? It isn't. Do you want to be part of the answer to that prayer? You might be. He might want you to be. What would God like to see? Jesus said to the Pharisees, religious men, centered on their own understanding. That's who they were. He said to them, Matthew 12:34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Never mind all of the fluff and stuff and the pretense. God's going after the heart, because that's where we live from. We don't live from the brain like we think we do. The brain only serves the heart. We live from the heart, and we do what we want to do. When you want to do something, especially if you want to do something contrary to what may be good for you, that's not coming from your brain, because it doesn't make sense. Where that is coming from is your heart. Desperately wicked above all else, and only God knows the extent of it. Oh God, show me who I am. Show me who I'm not. Oh yes. It appears that before we pray anything, we should set our hearts toward wanting the will of God, no matter what that might mean. And it may mean humbling our hearts and changing our prayer from what's the will of God for me to what's the will of God? If you keep saying, what's the will of God for me? You could leave God out. But if you say, what's the will of God? You've definitely included me. On His terms. On His terms. Oh, they might be different from yours. Oh, no, because I want this. I want God to do this, and He always does what I want. Oh, please. God's doing a much bigger work than that. Much bigger work than that. Daniel's words were heard immediately. And then, Daniel 10:13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone with the kings of Persia. So we've got these messengers of God. They may be angels. They may be a theophany. That is a human experience, expression of God. Visible. We don't know. But in Daniel 3:27, we see that prince is another name for governor. Was that way in Babylon, and that's just the definition of it. Or one who exerts power over others. So think of prince in that way. So who was this prince of the kingdom of Persia? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. See, there you have a mind responding to the heart, and it fills our being. Here is a similar expression of a prince, the prince of the power of the air. This prince works in the sons of disobedience. He does this singularly, as in one person at a time, or corporately, as in the kingdoms of this world, specifically here, the kingdom of the Persians. Here's a clue to what else, something, give a bigger picture of what's actually going on. And this prince is Lucifer. It's how he manifests himself in the world. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 will reveal this to you. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, who weakened the nations? Who weakened the nations, who turned the nations from a monarchy, that is God in charge, that's what Israel was, into a political menagerie of people being in charge. That's His doing. How do I know that? From Genesis chapter 3, and He said it to Eve, oh, you shall be as God. So He's behind that. Weakened the nation. Jesus refers to Him as a thief who only comes to steal, kill, and to destroy in John 10:10. And He's clever about it. Anytime a person or nation lives in disobedience to God, they leave themselves open to captivity. It just is what it is. Doesn't matter whether you believe in God or don't believe in God. Doesn't matter if you believe that the devil's actually doing this in the world. Doesn't matter. It gets done whether you believe it or not. Sometimes the pain and disappointment we experience can cause us to turn away from God. I understand that. Sometimes it's just plain old rebellion, but for whatever reason. Regardless of this, Lucifer is always looking to take advantage of such times in our lives. He's not looking for a fight with people. His fight is with God. And he's searching to be God. And thus, when the Antichrist comes, he'll be empowering the Antichrist. You've heard of demon possession? That's it. He is only looking to kill, steal, and destroy people, John 10:10. The poor, the brokenhearted, and the captive, the beaten down and the beaten up. That's the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Lions look for the weak and the wounded. The weak and the wounded. Now, you don't need to stand up and defend yourself when this happens. You need to bow down and humble yourself before God and pray and fast if you need to. And then the victory is guaranteed and it belongs to God and God alone. That's your defense. Spiritual warfare, that's your defense. On your knees, on your face, fasting and praying. That's why ministries, missionaries, churches, that's why they're successful. Not because they have a great leader, but because they have great prayers in their organization, in their gathering. This, either in person or in demon presence, is who the prince of the kingdom of Persia was in Daniel 10:13. So when we pray for our leaders, remember not just who we are praying for or what we are praying about, but remember who we may be praying against. Against. When I pray for our leaders, I pray that they get saved. And I pray that they stay saved if they are saved. That's what I pray. Political government in the world, it's not going to succeed. It's only momentary little flashes of success, little, wow, oh no. No. Pray for our leaders, but remember who we may be praying against. And Daniel knew how to get the victory in his own life so that he could stay in line with the will of God in the midst of chaos. That's what you need to do. Stay in line with the will of God in the midst of chaos. Sometimes we want to make the chaos go away and we get caught up in making the chaos go away and we don't stay in the will of God. We're out there worrying and fretting and all of this stuff and being led astray. And one of the things that leads me astray the most in being a pastor is looking at the church. Trying to fix the church, trying to grow the church, it ties me in a knot. And one of the most delightful, hilarious experiences is to simply pray and let Jesus build the church. And if he gives you a shovel, use it. If he doesn't, take a nap. Maybe he'll show up with two shovels the next day. Remember Rome? Rome fell from within, right? They were not God-honoring. They were full of pride and an exaggerated sense of entitlement. They left the back door open and the devil laid a whooping on them. It happens in nations and it happens in personal lives all the time. All the time. It's constant. And he's a great cover-up. Never shows himself. Never shows himself. But he's always up to that. Daniel 10, verse 14. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. The latter days mentioned in this verse are specifically the end of the times of the Gentiles. The rapture of the church has happened and the Antichrist is ruling. And Jesus Christ's return will happen within 7 years of that. Jesus Christ will be as he always has been, the way of escape. He will deliver the Jews and save believing Gentiles from the hand of the Antichrist. So from here to chapter 11, we have Daniel rendered speechless. He is without strength and he cannot speak. And then 1, verse 16 of chapter 10, having the likeness of the sons of men touched his lips and he was able to speak. This could have been an angel or a theophany, as I mentioned earlier. They're there to help Daniel and the people, to make sure that nothing interferes with the will of God. Does that trouble you? How can God possibly be in control when everything's in chaos? Because he's stirring through the ashes of our insanity, looking for something that might be living, the last breath of life that might choose him, and he can raise up out of the ashes. That's what he does. That's how he works. Because the most important thing isn't that this world in our system succeeds. It's that we, in relationship with him, will be made to live forever. This is just where he works. What is this for you? Is this all there is? Oh, please. Is this all there is? People's opinion of you? Is that all there is? This world and you succeeding at a job, at a career? Is that all there is? Because if that is all there is, you're sad. I don't even know you, but I know you're sad. You need more. You need what you were created for. And I think that's pretty good. It's we've heard from the Lord today. And let's leave that. And we'll pick it up in chapter 11 in 3 weeks' time.